and go back one and forward one. Sorry, forward and back. Thank you. Simplicity and mystery, living the two greatest commandments. In tonight's gospel reading, we find Jesus once again being confronted by the Pharisees. And in fact, if we can work out a chronology of Jesus' life, this reading takes place 2 days before his death. It's a critical time in Jesus' life and also in the plans of his enemies, where they're continuing to try to trap him in his words. And so the disputes continue. And this time the Pharisees gather together and they decide to test Jesus with a question, which on the surface of it is a very simple question, and on the surface Jesus gives a very simple answer as well. But sometimes a simple rule or set of rules can produce something of great complexity and beauty. And I'd like to give you an example of that. Oops. Soon. Thanks, Joe. Some of you may know a simple mathematical rule that looks something like this. Andrew is nodding his head. Others haven't recognized it yet. This is to do with numbers in the complex plane. So square root of negative one and all that kind of weird stuff. And the rule is Zn plus 1 equals Zn squared plus C. Now, something very interesting, beautiful, and complex, and mysterious happens when you map the values of C for this equation that don't go to infinity. And this is what it looks like. Once more, please, Joe. A complex, beautiful, and mysterious result from a very simple rule. It's called the Mandelbrot set. Thanks, Joe. Some of you may have seen this picture before. Is anyone familiar with this picture? This is what happens when you graph that equation and put color to it using a computer. It's infinitely complex. It has layers and layers, and you can zoom and dive further and further into the valleys and the swirls and the whirls of the Mandelbrot set. And in fact, we've got a YouTube clip which... Now, when I showed some of these images this morning at North Geelong where I preached, a lady came to me after the sermon and she said, "You know, I've always hated mathematics, but now I can see that it can actually be something beautiful." And for me as a mathematician, when I contemplate an object like the Mandelbrot set, I'm awed that, A, that, you know, God could be so smart, and B, that people could actually map something like that. We are on the verge of mystery here. A simple rule can produce some beautiful and complex results. And the word mystery is also the sense that I have when I begin to contemplate Jesus' two great commandments. Jesus apparently gives a very simple answer, two simple rules to the question, what is the greatest and most important commandment? He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." These are the two most important commandments, and everything else is packed right into them. Out of these two simple rules come a complex and beautiful mystery that is the interaction between the love that God has for us and the love that we show to God and others in response. A complex, beautiful, and mysterious result, and we'll zoom in and have a look more closely at that. So Jesus quotes here from the book of Deuteronomy, which is the book that Brian just read from. It's the story of the people of Israel coming into the promised land. Thanks, Joe. And it's really important to understand the setting of the great commandment, because Deuteronomy is a book of covenant. Covenant is not the kind of language that we often use in today's world. But a covenant is a commitment, a rock-solid commitment of relationship between two parties. And the closest thing that we get to that today is in a marriage service where the bride and the groom make vows to each other. They are actually making a covenant. And the book of Deuteronomy is the book of God's covenant with his people. It's not a book of rules that's arbitrarily dropped from heaven. It's about relationship. It comes from a God who has already set his people free from slavery, who has gathered them to himself, who has called them to be his very own, and who promises them that they can always, always trust in him. And so the greatest commandment that Jesus gives comes immediately after the great Israelite confession of faith called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Other religions have codes of ethics. They have sets of rules that you should adhere to as a good person within that religion. In Islam, you have the five pillars, which are particular actions which you have to do in order to be a Muslim. And they include confession of Allah as God and Muhammad as his prophet, daily prayer, fasting, almsgiving, and the pilgrimage to Mecca. In Buddhism, you have the Noble Eightfold Path, which is a set of complex descriptions of the way that you should think and respond and act and intend. But no other religion has two simple rules which are fundamentally about a covenant relationship between God and his people. This is God has loved us. And we are the new Israel. We are the people whom God has rescued from the slavery of sin and has called to himself to make his very own through the new covenant that comes through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for us. So just like we dived into the Mandelbrot set, let's dive in to the two great commandments and see if we can capture some of the mystery and the beauty here. That's pretty dark, isn't it? Can you read that? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, says Jesus. Now, we are used to thinking of the heart as the center of our emotions, the things that we feel. But biblically, the heart speaks of the will, of the choice that people make to do something or not to do something. It's about intention. And Jesus himself is the one who loved God with all of his heart, with all of his will. Just a couple of days after saying these words, we find him on his knees in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, saying to God the Father, "Not my will, but your will be done." That is Jesus loving God with all his heart for our sake. So when Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart," he is saying that as God's redeemed people, you have the ability, through the power of the Holy Spirit and through God at work in you, to choose to do what glorifies God, to will that your life is in accordance with the way that God wants. So that's what a very quick glimpse of loving God with all your heart is about. Thanks, Joe. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. Well, this one's a bit trickier. I wonder who would be able to give a really good definition of the word soul. It's kind of a spooky word. Is that some kind of spiritual thing that floats around inside you until you die and then it kind of drifts off to heaven or something? Well, the Greek word is the word psuche or psyche, from which we get psychology and other similar words like that. And it can actually be translated either as soul or simply as life. So Jesus is really saying here, love the Lord your God with the whole of your life. That seems to me to be a lot simpler to understand. The whole of your life, everything that you do, offering your body as a living sacrifice for God's glory, everything that you think, your actions towards God and others, the whole lot belongs to God and is offered back to him because of his love for us. And that's what Jesus means, I think, when he says, love the Lord your God with all your soul. Mentally, you can translate that word as life. Love the Lord your God with the whole of your life. Because, in fact, that's the way that the Lord our God has loved us, with the whole of the life of his Son, given so that we can belong to him and we can dwell in this mystery of loving God and being loved by him. Thanks, Joe. Love the Lord your God with all of your mind, with your thoughts and intentions. Now, I know that there are a number of you who are just coming into exam period right now. What this means for you right now is that your studying gives glory to God. The use of your mind and all of the faculties that God has given you in doing the best you can as a student and then using those abilities and gifts for his glory in whatever you do, that is what it means to love the Lord your God with the whole of your mind. Don't check your brain at the door, Jesus is saying. God wants people to love him with their thinking and to think carefully and thoroughly about some of the issues that we face. This calls us, I believe, into loving God in the midst of our vocation, our calling, our placement in life, either as maybe a husband or wife or a son or daughter, a student or a worker in the corporate world or wherever you may be. God is asking you to glorify him by your thinking. Don't go into blind faith. Ask the questions, study his words, study the world, and apply what you learn, all for God's glory. Thanks, Joe. Jesus says the second commandment is very much like the first one. And the reason for that is because in the neighbor, the person that Jesus has given to you right at this moment, we see the image of God. So to love God and to love our neighbor are intimately connected, because in loving our neighbor, we're also loving the image of God in that person. Love your neighbor as yourself. C.S. Lewis asked a very interesting question. He said, how do we love ourselves? Well, we think well of our own intentions and actions, don't we, most of the time? Think the best of what we're trying to do. We forgive ourselves, although that's sometimes difficult for us. We seek what is good for ourselves. And that's okay. That's actually really important. Jesus is not saying don't love yourself. He's saying love your neighbor as yourself. Seek what is good and best for them in the same way that you seek what is best for yourself. And once again, Jesus is the one who has fully fulfilled this law. He loved us, his neighbor, more, in fact, than his own life. And he was willing to give that up on the cross so that we might know the love of God. So it's Jesus who has fulfilled the command to love your neighbor as yourself. And now he calls us also to do that in the mystery of his love. Thanks, Joe. Two simple rules, but a complex and amazing and beautiful and mysterious result. I remember Rowan Lewis once defined mystery in the Christian sense in this way. A mystery is not something unknowable, it's something infinitely knowable. There's always more. You can always dive in further. And that's why the Mandelbrot set is mysterious, because there's always more to discover. That's why the new covenant love of God and Jesus' two simple commandments to love God and love neighbor are a deep and abiding mystery. That God would love us so much, and that we can always go further into the depth of that. That God would love us in such a beautiful and detailed and intricate way, and calls us also to love himself and others in that way. Here we stand in the mystery of God's new covenant love for us, with two simple rules that may produce astounding, mysterious results as we apply them within Christian ethics. Knowing that there's always more to discover of God's love for us and of our love for him and others. Just flick a couple of times. Simplicity and mystery. Those are the two words that come to mind when I think of living out the two great commandments that Jesus gives to us. Thanks be to God for the mystery of his covenant love for us. Amen.